All right, let's jump into a case today that's pretty wild. Imagine you're going through a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
And you're looking at a big settlement you got to pay, maybe some ongoing support payments, and you think,
right.
I'm not into this. So you come up with a plan. You're going to move to a state that's known for quickie divorces, thinking you could just kind of slip out of those obligations. Sounds kind of tempting, but can you really escape all that just by going to a different state?
Right.
That's what Worthley v. Worthley, a 1955 case that ended up at the California Supreme Court,
yeah.
is all about. And it really changed how states deal with these interstate support cases.
Yeah, it shook things up for sure. Worthley made everyone rethink what full faith and credit really means. You know, that part of the Constitution that says states have to respect each other's court orders.
Right.
It used to be a much more straightforward issue. But Worthley brought in all these nuances, especially when we're talking about things like support orders that can be changed.
Okay, so can you kind of lay out how this Worthley story all went down?
Well, we start with Edward and Ruth Worthley.
Okay.
Got married in New Jersey back in 43, separated a few years later, and by 1947, Ruth had a separate maintenance decree from a New Jersey court. That basically meant Edward was on the hook for $9 a week in support payments.
So they were legally separated but not officially divorced, and the court's making sure one spouse is supporting the other.
Exactly. And Edward made his payments for about a year, but then he kind of vanished, moved to Nevada, and got himself one of those super quick divorces, and Ruth had absolutely no part in any of it.
Sounds like he was trying to pull a fast one on Ruth and the New Jersey courts, too.
Did the Nevada court just pretend that support order didn't exist?
Well, not exactly. They did end the marriage, but never really addressed the alimony situation. So Edward, feeling pretty free, figured he was off the hook and just stopped paying Ruth anything.
Of course. But something tells me Ruth wasn't just going to let him get away with that. What did she do? You guessed it. Edward ended up in California, and Ruth, not giving up on what she was owed, followed him there, and she wasn't messing around. She filed a lawsuit in California to get that original support order from New Jersey enforced.
Whoa, now we've got a real legal battle going on. Three different states, three different sets of laws. This sounds like a mess.
It seems pretty simple though, right? Don't states have to honor each other's court orders? We just talked about that whole full faith and credit thing.
Right.
Why wouldn't California just enforce the order from New Jersey?
Well, that's where things get complicated. Worthley really throws a wrench into the whole full faith and credit idea because that New Jersey support order could be changed. The court there could adjust the amount or how long those payments went on if things changed.
So is California supposed to just follow that original order without question, or did the Nevada divorce mess everything up? What did the California Supreme Court decide?
Well, the California Supreme Court, led by Justice Roger Traynor, took a really interesting approach. They decided to make a distinction between marital status and property rights. Wait, hold on. Property rights in a divorce case. I thought divorce was just about ending the marriage.
It's a pretty common misunderstanding. Divorce isn't just about saying see ya to your spouse. You know, it's also about untangling all the finances and figuring out who owns what.
Ah, I see.
We're talking alimony, child support, splitting up assets, all that.
Yeah.
Legally, all that stuff falls under property rights.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. So how did the court apply that to Edward and Ruth?
They said, okay, California has to recognize the Nevada divorce as far as their marital status goes. Edward and Ruth were no longer married, at least in California's view.
Right.
But here's the big thing. They also said those support payments, you know, like that order for New Jersey, those fall under property rights.
Oh, okay. So the Nevada court couldn't just wipe away Ruth's right to that support money because she was never even in Nevada. The court didn't have the power to do that, right? They didn't have jurisdiction over her.
Exactly. Ruth never stepped foot in Nevada, so they couldn't just mess with her property rights.
Makes sense.
But then a whole new problem comes up. How can California enforce an order that came from a completely different state?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. It's like they're stuck in between states, you know, some kind of legal limbo.
And this is where the California Supreme Court made a huge decision. They said, California, you can enforce these kinds of support orders from other states, even if they can be changed later.
Wow.
It was a total game changer. They overturned an old rule and set a big precedent for how these interstate cases would be handled from then on.
So California could enforce the New Jersey order and even modify it. That's a pretty big power. Why did they make such a bold move? What was their reasoning?
Practicality. For one thing, Edward and Ruth both lived in California, so why make them go back to New Jersey to deal with all this?
Right.
It just made more sense. They also brought up this law, the Uniform Reciprocal Enforcement of Support Act, which was basically designed to make it easier to enforce support payments across state lines.
Okay.
It was like they were saying, look, people move around all the time. The law needs to keep up.
So they wanted to make the system work better in a world where people are constantly on the move.
Exactly.
I get it. I bet not everyone was happy about this decision, though. Was there anyone who disagreed?
You're right. Justice Spence had some serious concerns about the whole thing. He actually dissented and argued this was going to cause total chaos.
Really?
Yeah, he was worried that if New Jersey could adjust that support order, the California courts might end up issuing their own totally different orders.
Oh, I see the problem. Multiple states, multiple courts, all trying to change the same order. That sounds confusing. What else did Justice Spence object to?
Yeah, he was really focused on that jurisdiction thing. He thought because that Nevada divorce happened, any support obligations from New Jersey should just be totally gone.
Fresh start.
Yeah, exactly. But the majority ruled, and the Worthley decision really did completely change how states look at support orders. It moved away from that rigid all-or-nothing approach and created a system where states can enforce and change orders from other states.
So Worthley ushered in this new era of cooperation and flexibility when it comes to interstate family law cases. That's a big impact. It seems like this case really helped even the playing field for people like Ruth who are fighting to get those support payments in different states. Were there any other big changes because of Worthley?
Absolutely. Worthley was a really important step toward getting the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, or USFSA, adopted all over the country. That act made things even more consistent and efficient when it came to making sure those support payments were being made across states.
So Worthley kind of paved the way for a more unified system across the U.S. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, imagine dealing with all these different state laws on top of a divorce. That would be incredibly stressful.
For sure. Just think about how complicated it was before USFSA. Someone like Ruth might have had to drag Edward back to New Jersey just to enforce a simple support order. That's so much time and money and such a headache, it could have been a nightmare.
It sounds like Worthley was a really landmark decision, not just in terms of setting a legal precedent, but also because it made the system more accessible and fair for everyone.
Definitely a big step forward. But as much as Worthley and UIFSA have made things better, they haven't completely solved all the issues that come up with these interstate cases. Remember Justice Spence and his concerns about those conflicting court orders?
Oh, right, yeah.
Those concerns are still relevant.
So even with UIFSA, we've still got some kinks to work out. It seems like it's an ongoing thing, trying to get real fairness and equity in these kinds of situations.
It is. We need to keep talking about and maybe even changing the laws if we want to make sure everyone involved in these complex interstate disputes is treated fairly. It's something to consider for sure.
Lots to think about. Well, thanks for taking this deep dive into Worthley v. Worthley with me. It's amazing how one case can have such a huge impact, changing laws and affecting people's lives for years to come.
It really shows how the law is always adapting to the world around it, especially now when people are so mobile and everything's so interconnected. It's a good reminder that it's really important to understand these complexities, especially in family law.
I totally agree. And to all our listeners out there, we want to hear your thoughts. We'll see you next time for another fascinating deep dive into the world of law.